Thank you, Preacher. Preacher, I certainly would like to thank you again for letting me come. I praise God every time a new church that I get to get in and share what God has done through this coal miner. When I worked in the coal mines, I was the number one coaler. It meant I loaded more tons of coal than anyone else.
Yep.
You got paid by the ton. I was explaining it to you yesterday, but I still got it. When you hire into the coal mines on the hand loading section, you have your own room about 20 feet and 25. If you're a good worker, they give you two. And I loaded twice as much as most of the men did. And if they hired you and they give you a number, they like 1 to 100, and they got a big sheet. When you load a car of coal, it's got a clip on it like it has a nail. And you put, I happen to have what we call a check. This is number 45 here. 35, and you just hook that onto the car. When the car, then they pull it outside and weigh it. Car coal, when you load it, about 3 tons. And the guy's weighing the coal, reach and get this. He see 35, and it flashes on the screen how much the car weighs, how many pounds. And he puts it right now, the 35. It goes into the office. Every 2 weeks, you get your pay. We call it every half. And so, but we got paid according to how many tons that we loaded. Didn't get paid by the hour. How many tons you loaded? I took that same formula, went to Michigan. I got drywall, man. Anybody ever hang drywall, sheetrock?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then I'm a taper myself. I learned to tape it. And so then I pay them so much a board. As an illustration, a 10-foot board's got 40 square feet in it, and today it'd pay you about $4 for every board that you paid on 4 cents, 5 cents a foot, something like that. And so I had men in 4 to 5 or 6 hours can make 8 hours pay, and they worked the other 2 hours, and they get a big bonus, you see, more money. And so, you know, that there's on a reward system, and that's the same thing God has you and I on, is a reward system. And so he's going to pay us, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And so that's what God... And you don't know how your song, Everybody Needs the Lord, tying in with my message tonight. You wait and see. But again, I want to thank you, and thank you for letting me give them a testimony and bragging on Jesus. I'll be doing it again. I've been in this church I'm going to next Sunday. I go there every year. And so I've been there several times. And so I'll be bragging on the Lord, too. I've got some more ideas for good messages, and I'm just dying to get alone for 4, 5, 8 hours and pray them out and let the Holy Spirit of God tell me what to do. And so I've got some funny stuff. What time you want me to stop? It's 10 to 7, 7 to 7 right now.
7:30.
Well, you got a television program you want to watch?
No. Whatever you want.
That's only 35 minutes. You hear Dr. Howell says when his wife called, you have to get the operator. And so you get 3 minutes set. And she'd say, hello. And the operator would say, your 3 minutes are up. That's what I wanted to hear you say. Now you're preaching. You restored my confidence in you. I thought maybe you want to get home tonight and watch I Love Lucy's on or something like that. And so, but I'd like to teach you something other tonight. And so, first let me tell you a story. What got me to become a businessman? Down in Kentucky, I bought a mule one time. It cost $100. I gave a man $100. He's going to bring it over on Saturday. And so he comes Saturday morning, knocked on the door, and said, I got bad news. He said, what? I said, what? He said, the mule died. I said, give me my $100 back. He said, I don't have it. I spent it. I said, bring that mule over here. He said, you want a dead mule? I said, it's mine, isn't it? Bring it over. He said, what are you going to do with that mule? I said, I'm going to raffle it off. I'm going to sell raffles on it. The dead mule? I said, yeah, you can't do it. I said, you watch me. He came back 4 or 5 days. How the raffle go? I said, well, I sold 1,000 raffles at $2 each. I took in $2,000 and raffled that mule off. He said, didn't you get any complaints? I said, yeah, I got one. He said, who was it from? I said, the man that won the mule.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, what'd you do? I said, I gave his $2 back. That's business, eh? That started my business career, I tell you. I wasn't going to tell you this story, but I better tell you this story. It'll make you laugh. I believe in having fun. I come to church to have fun.
Amen.
The devil told me, Russ, 28 years old, you've been going to these bars and that, and hearing all that dirty jokes. Yeah. You'll never have any fun in church. That's a lie straight from hell. Yeah. I have all kinds of fun. Listen, you'll laugh more tonight than you have in any bar that you've ever been in. Queen fun, queen jokes. And so, well, the last day of school in Kentucky, we always took the teacher a present. Nice boxes and ribbons that our parents would fix up. And so the last day of school happened, little Johnny got up back there, and his daddy owned a bakery. And nice box, nice ribbon. Brought it up, and the teacher said, and Johnny stood there, watched her untie the ribbon, open it, down to chocolate. She swapped it. Oh, Johnny, chocolate's my favorite. Okay, I'll enjoy it. Thank you, Johnny. You go back to your seat. Frankie got up, and here he started down the aisle of the big box and that, and his daddy owned a candy store. And so he said on the teacher's desk, she untied the ribbon and opened it up. Chocolate candy took it. Oh, she said, delicious, delicious. He said, thank you, Frankie. I'll enjoy that. Thank you. About that time, Junior got up and started down the aisle and had a nice box and a ribbon on it and that, and his dad owned a whiskey store. And the teacher thought, what in the world's he got in that box? So he come and set it on her desk, and she looked at him a minute, and he said, open it, teacher. And she didn't know where to open it or not, and all of a sudden she saw something liquid leaking out of it, and she went, said, what's in that box? He said, a little puppy. You laugh. You laugh, don't you? Now, wouldn't you rather been here as in a bar or not? I'm going to have fun, whether you like it or not. I'm going to have fun. Now, to tie in with the message, what the song tonight, John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. Let me give you a testimony. When I first got saved, I was 28 years old. No one in my family on either side was saved. Now, of course, I know everyone is. Don't tell me you can't win your relatives. And within 6 weeks, Pastor, I saw 11 of my family members saved, including my mother. Sisters, uncle, two alcoholics, two uncles alcoholics. Never touched another drop after they got saved. And so they never had heard the gospel story. They got sprinkled when they was babies, but it didn't take. And so I was in a motel not too long ago. Maid knocked on the door. Did you need anything? I just checked in. I said, no. I do. I said, bring me some coffee. Those little coffees put in. While I'm working during the day, I have some coffee. She said, okay. She went back and got the coffee. She come back, knocked on the door, and handed me the coffee. She said, hey, wait a minute. I said, all I had to do was ask for that coffee and I got it. If I hadn't asked for that coffee, I wouldn't have got it, would have known. I said, let me tell you something else I asked for. When I was 28 years old, I go on my knees, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and save me. And he saved me because I asked him. And then I showed her my wedding ring. I said, you don't see that? I got married because I asked a girl to marry me. But it's something I asked for. I got the coffee because I asked for it. Let me ask you a question now. If you was to die right now, you know, sure you go to heaven. She said, no, don't. Pastor, just a few minutes. She bowed her head and asked Christ to forgive her sins and save her. And so I was in a motel down in North Carolina two or three weeks ago. And the pastor had, I'll tell you what, it was May the 16th. It was my birthday. May the 16th, my birthday. I wore a size 42. And so the pastor bought me three ties and put them there on the bed. Well, there's my bathroom sink. It would not drain in that little clip in there. You know, that stopper comes up like that. I had to crawl in there. It's about this much water in it. The maid didn't do her job before I checked in. I pushed that little stopper up and let the water come down. Then I called and got a maintenance man down there. And so Terry was his name, as I recall. And I got talking to him about the plumbing and all the apartments I own, about all the peanut butter jar lids and all the toys that the kid had put down my toilets and at 450 house apartments, and I'd have to pay a man to go get it. But and then we laughed a while. Then I said, I'd like to ask you something. I said, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? He said, no, I don't. Strange you asked me that, because today at 2 o'clock I'm going to the funeral of my uncle's dead. And I said, but he said, I believe my daddy was saved, though. He said, because when they asked him about it, he said he died with a smile on his face and went on top. Like, I said, how about you? He said, no, I never have. I said, let me show you. I went through the plan of salvation with him and the Romans wrote, and said, whosoever is called upon the Lord shall be saved. And I said, and I told him about Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not yourself. It is a gift of God. I said, you see those three ties there? Yeah. There's a preacher brought them for me, but even though he bought them for me, until I received those ties, they were not mine.
Right.
See, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but until we receive his death for our sin. In a few minutes, he was saved. Next morning, next day, I talked to him, he went to the funeral, and he said he talked to, then he wanted me to pray for his niece who was in the hospital or something other, and she got out the next day, and he was rejoicing over that, thought that she died. But I'm just saying that people are lonesome. People need the Lord,
amen.
You see. And so all over the country, I was on an airplane not long ago. It was a year ago, I guess, but I was on one two weeks ago, too. But an airplane, and there's some woman sat down. I was sitting on the aisle seat here, and so she was sitting here, and so she wanted to change seats. I said, no, this is my seat. And she said, well, I won't change with you. I want that seat. I said, I don't care what you want. I said, this is mine. I'm going to sit here. And she said, well, I don't sit here. I said, well, that's all right. I ordered a 21-year-old blonde. You're about 50. I'll go back and get a 21-year-old, and I'll get her to trade with you. You're supposed to laugh. And so the flight attendant came by and said, hey, this man don't want me to sit here. And I told her what story. I said, she said she wants my seat, and I'm going to give her my seat. And so she wants, this is what my tickets called this seat. And we laughed about it. And I offered to go back and get another girl to swap seats with her, but she wouldn't let me. And so it started off joking, landing like that and got acquainted with it. And then I said, where are you headed? She said, I'm going back to Guam. I'm a citizen of Guam. And she said, I used to live in Hawaii. My husband died, and he was a postmaster there or something in Hawaii. And she said, I'm flying back there, the country of Guam. I said, oh, you're not married. She said, no. I said, you know, I know what you need. I know what you need. I said, let me tell you a story. I said, one time a boy married a sweetheart girl. They were going to school together, the sweethearts. They got married and lived happily for 10 years, but suddenly she took sick and died. And he thought, what can I put on my tombstone that lets people know how much I love my wife? And he put this on the tombstone. My light has gone out. And I said, several months he'd go up and look at that tombstone and reminisce, think about what he and his wife did. But one night, one day at work, he met another lady, and they began to date, and fell in love, and got married. After a few weeks, she wanted to go up on the graveyard and see where his first wife was buried. He didn't want to go up there, afraid that'd make her mad when she saw him, hurt her feelings. My light's gone out. So one night she said, no, I'm going to go up there tomorrow. I'll find it. Well, she went to sleep that night, and then he slipped out of bed and went up and wrote something else on that tombstone. Next morning, he took his second wife up there, and she read it. She began to smile when she read it. It's now read, my light has gone out, but I struck another match. I said, now, lady, what you need to strike another match. You lost yet. We got to lay. And she said, and then she said to me, she said, Mr. Anderson said, I'm so pleased to get set beside you. You made me laugh, put joy in my life, and she paid me some more compliments. I said, just a minute. I said, would you put that in writing? My wife doesn't know that. I like to show my wife that you think who I am, who you think I am. She said, sure. She reached over, and when she reached over, she got one of those stick-em notes, you know, that you can stick notes that you can stick, got that on?
Yep.
And I found it a while ago. You saw me in my pocketbook, and I... Here it is. Boy, I looked for that thing a while ago. I found it. And here's what she wrote, Pastor. I studied my Bible. I said, you need to strike another match. And so here's what she said. She said, Russell, I said, you will put that in writing. And this is her handwriting right here. Said, Russell, you are a good man. I am blessed that you are seated next to me. And so, I said, then say this to that on that note. Maxine, you just don't know how lucky you are to have a man like this. She started writing that. I said, no, don't write this. Write this. She said, I'm going away with a special message when we depart. Russell is going to tell me how to get to heaven today. Amen. Now, that I said the other day, that's 07. That's a year and a half or so ago. She dated one, it's 07. 129-07. Russell's going to tell me how to go to heaven today. And so then she signed it, Victoria Bias Loves. And so then there's the cabin's people come by serving peanuts and Coke in, and I said, let's wait till this gets over, and then I'll talk to you. And she said, no, let's keep it. No, I said, this event, a few minutes passed by, if they got that settled down. Then here's what she turned a note over on the back and said then. Approximately 1 hour later, I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and to save me. Amen. And someday I will meet Brother Anderson in heaven. Wow. and also meet Jesus Christ, signed again. Amen. That's her handwriting. I went to prayer meeting that Wednesday night in Honolulu. There's a Baptist church just about 10 blocks from the airport. When you get your luggage there, you can come out in Honolulu down there. It's Nimitz Streets, and it's down about 10 blocks across from a Ford dealership, Honolulu Ford. I went there, and there's a missionary, evangelist going to Guam, and I said, you know any Baptist church? Yeah. And I gave her the card, the original 3x5 card where she wrote her address, have some Baptist preacher calling this woman. See how God works? Yeah. See, people need the Lord. And guess who he's chosen to go get them? Huh? Now, I see this happen all the time. But what was the time in my life when I make 18, 20 calls? Hardly see anything, sometimes just one. Now you give me 18 to 20 people to talk to, and at least about 15 of them will ask the Lord to forgive them their sins and save them. I want to share with you tonight how that can happen to you. See, one of these days, when you die, or when your mother dies, when your brother, sister, when your children dies, they're going to go to heaven or hell. Right. Now, if you'd passed by your unsaved loved one's house this morning at 2 o'clock, and you saw that there's a fire in that house and it's burning the roof, would you try to get your relatives out? Would you try to knock the door down? Yep. Would you knock the windows out? Would you have done something to get in there and to get your precious loved ones?
Yep.
Huh? You've done it, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Now, I want to show you tonight how you can do it. You, without excuse, tonight, I'll prove to you from the Bible that how that God can use you. God can use me. He can use you. Something happened in my life. Now, in John 14, I want to take a text now. John 14, 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, look at verse 26. But the comforter, which is the what? Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. The man gave testimony a while ago. He said, the Holy Spirit helped me to win that woman. I caught that. He said, with the help of the Holy Spirit, he said, the Holy Spirit helped me win it. That's true. That's true. I'm not getting in front of myself, but just I'll tie that in a little bit later. Look, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Some things are all things.
All things.
All right. And so then in 15, by verse about 26. But when the Comforter is come, I will send him unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, and he shall testify me. So therefore the Holy Spirit came to testify of Jesus and to use you and I to go out soul winning, you see. And so let me establish this here, where the word comforter comes from the Greek word P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S, Greek word parakletos, I guess, close enough pronunciation. And para means alongside, and kleto means one called. That means, Pastor, when you and I are out sowing, if we depend on the Holy Spirit, He's called someone to go right alongside with us. Now, you got this. This changed my life when I realized that God had sent the Holy Spirit, and He goes with me, and when I'm talking to His ears, that's the only thing I can do.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you what's the mistake you make. You say, well, I just can't do it, and that's right. I can't win a soul to Christ, and you can't either. My only responsibility is to depend upon the Holy Spirit, not to try to do His job now.
Right.
My job is to talk to your ears,
yes,
and it's the Holy Spirit's job to talk to His heart.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
So therefore, when you and I try to take His job, we insult Him.
Yeah.
You see?
That's good.
We grieve Him. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And now, I'll take a text. Now, with that in mind, look at John chapter 16, verse 7, I think it is. Let me see my notes here. 16, let me read verse 5. Verse 5, but now I go my way to Him that sent me. That Jesus is talking to none of you ask me, where goest thou? But because I said these things to you, you're sorry in your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's necessary, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go another way, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send Him to you. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but when I go away, I'm going to send somebody else to represent me here on earth. When Stephen died, he looked up in Acts chapter 7 and saw Jesus on the right-hand side of God and saw God the Father. And so, but then see, the Holy Spirit is here. He's the third part of the Trinity, and He's the one who uses us. And again, now, we talk to their ears. The Holy Spirit talks to the heart. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, now, and so then it says, good outline of the book of Acts is, Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and the church went out. Now look, verse 8. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And so then it goes at 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Now there's the Holy Spirit. You see, you depend upon the Holy Spirit to say, I don't have all these the ties. I don't have all those stories. The Holy Spirit gives them to me. You know what a profound teacher that Jesus was?
Yeah.
He talked about big subjects like the vine,
yep,
the coin, the sheep. He didn't use big words longer than my Cadillac. He didn't use words like that.
Right.
He used little words. And said, howbeit when the, verse 13, now howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, He shall guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Now, who's the Holy Spirit going to talk about? But whatsoever He hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show things to you. He shall glorify me. Now, Jesus is talking there, the Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me, for He shall see of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and show it to you. I don't think I prayed yet, however. Our Father, pray Your blessings now upon this next few minutes, the Holy Spirit of God, because of the message tonight, may soul winners be born, may soul winners be increased, realizing they can't do it. Their only responsibility is to talk to the ears. Now, Holy Spirit, help us not to try to do Your part, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said again, the parakletos, P-A-R, it means para, means alongside, and kletos means one call. And to give you a little scripture, the Acts, we're going to spend some time. Actually, just turning the Bible over to Acts about 8 there. Now we'll start Acts chapter 8. Now, this is kind of a teaching message tonight, but I'll put some humor in it a little bit later on. Don't go to sleep on it until I lay the foundation here now. I said that He called someone to go alongside with us. Now, let me prove it by the scriptures. In Acts chapter 8, we look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Does that look like He called someone to go along beside Philip? Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read our prophet Isaiah and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, beloved, I picked this Bible up a few times before I ever got saved, and I couldn't understand it. I would have gotten saved sooner if somebody come by, some soul winners, a spirit-filled soul winner, depending upon the Holy Spirit, and showed me the scripture. Yes. Now here was an educated man. He said he was the he was a treasurer of the queen's. He was a treasurer for the queen. And so, here's verse 27. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, the queen, who had charge of all her money, a treasurer. You know, must have been an educated man. But he didn't understand. See, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he understand them.
Right.
What he needs is some soul winner to come by and tell him. There's people all over this town is waiting for some soul winner to knock on their door and tell them about Jesus Christ. See, they want to get saved, but they're reading the Bible. It don't make sense to them. Well, I tried to read the Bible. I just don't understand it. And that's exactly what I did. I read the Bible, and so I didn't understand it. But here he makes it very plain. I said he called someone to go alongside with us when we was out. Just the same thing as Peter when he went to the Philippian, in the Philippian jailer. And same, I met Peter that went to Cornelius and with the gospel, and Paul to the Philippian jailer. Point one is he called someone to go alongside with him. If I can just get you to remember this when you go so, or when you talk to someone, that he calls someone to go alongside with us when we're out, and he wants to use us. That's what point one. Point two, he showed you where to go.
Right.
He showed us where to go. Acts 8:26. Now look there, I didn't, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south, and the way that goeth down to Jerusalem, and to Gaza, which is desert. Now, did the angel tell Philip where to go? Number one, he called him to go alongside, and then he showed us where to go. How many times we knocked on the door, and we'd been in the wrong address? You knocked on many doors as I have, I thought I had the right address, but you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Now, Acts 10:23, then called he them and lodged tomorrow, and Peter went away with him, certain brethren coming. Now, in Acts 13:2, very important, I'm going to read it to you. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas from Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. The Holy Spirit's talking there.
Yeah.
He's showing them where to go, where I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they've been sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:2, departed into Seleucia, and then from there he went to sail to Cyprus. And Paul got the Macedonian call in Acts 16:9. I was traveling from Michigan to down in Lexington, Kentucky. I take 75 now, not many Smokies on 75, not a red light between my town and Lexington, Kentucky. And, so, and I keep up those big trucks. I travel by grace. And so, I won't be the front car, won't be the front door. I just keep up, just try to keep up with other people. And so, I'd rather go with that. So, there's a lady came up to me. She's custodian of the church there. She said, you going to Lexington? And yeah, I said, Dr. Fugate, now we started a tent revival down in Kentucky. And the last tent revival spoke in over there, we started 20 churches that way. And it was 107 degrees outside of that tent in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. But I don't know what it was under that tent. But I'll tell you, it wasn't a dry thread on me. But today we have a church there run about 200 people. Nice building. And so there we go. So I said, my sister lives somewhere there and outside of Lexington for sales. And I said, I'll see you. Write her address down. So me and the pastor, I've been there 2 days. I said, let's drive about 20 miles out here one day. There's a lady wanted me to go see her sister and said she's not saved. So I thought she said she lived in a trailer park because her sister's there. But when I found that street, the lot in there was $130,000 to $150,000, a beautiful mansion-like house. I said, man, this is the right address. I said, I'll go knock on the door. And when a very refined lady came to the door, I said, lady, I'm a businessman from Michigan. And I said, I go to church up there with a lady. And she said, if I was down in there, I should stop by and see you. Do you recognize this handwriting? Had her handwriting like 3 or 5 cards. She said, yeah, said, that's my sister. I said, well, I'm a businessman. This pastor, we like to come in and talk to you. Said, come on in. Very fine home. I found out later on her husband was the president of the bank locally. I should have got acquainted with him, but I didn't. So we sat down, pastor, and hear what I said. Now, I'm going to teach you something right fast. Now, wake up right fast and get ready to get right down. I'm going to teach you something right fast. And I said, have you ever been, after we talked a while, got acquainted, and Dr. Howells has taught us we first sell ourselves. We're all right. And then I asked her this. I said, you've been saved? She said, yes, I have. I said, when did it happen? She said, when I got baptized. She said, I'm Catholic. I said, oh, that's interesting. You're Catholic. I said, now, Acts chapter 2, I'm going to teach you something, how to win 95% of the Catholics. Are you interested?
Yep.
I'd rather talk to Catholic anytime than an old backslidden Baptist. Yep. Catholics love the Lord, and they believe in the virgin birth. That's what I tell them when I witness to them, too. At Acts chapter 2, you be well now to listen to this and take notes here. I said, when she said, Pastor, I got saved at baptism, I said, oh, then I'm a Baptist and I'm more obedient to your Pope than you are. Now listen, you learn to say this. If I knocked on the door of our next Catholic I talked to, and that I always say this, after I talk to them a little bit and they tell me, I'm more obedient to your Pope than you are. I call him her Pope, not mine. Your Pope. She said, you can't be your Pope. I said, I am. I'm going to prove to you. I said, turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2, verse 14. I read her this. When Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said, unto you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you this day and hearken to my words. I said, now Peter starts preaching here in verse 14. He tells the Jews how that they killed Jesus and what they did and how Jesus prophesied to be born. Now, I said, he quits preaching here in verse 36. Now, I'm going to turn 36. Now, you show this. You write this down. And if you, when you're witnessing to that or anyone else, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, Peter stops preaching here. Then they asked Peter a question. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Hey, who did the pricking? You and I can't do that. I talk to his ears, but I can't do anything for his heart. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's why you fail, because you think you have to do it. You can't do it. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Quit trying to... See, now back to 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then the Catholics Pope, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's how Peter said you had to be baptized. I said, I'm more obedient to your Pope than you are. Because I did what Peter told me to do to get saved. I'm on my way to heaven and you're not. You're not obeying your Pope. I've had refined ladies in Hawaii and places I've talked to in my... But I think it's all right to be baptized for... Oh, you know more about the Bible than your Pope does. I thought he's a vicar of Christ or something. His words overrides everybody in the world now. Huh? You know more than your Pope does? Huh? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, everyone in your name. Now, he said repent first. Now, when you were young, and I'm not being critical, I'm teaching doctrine now. When you were young, at 6, 7 days old, somebody told you they baptized, they sprinkled some water on your face. You see? And so, you don't even remember it. But Peter said repent first. How could you repent when he's a baby? Huh? Could you talk? What Peter said, repent, you have to be able to talk. That's why I'm more faithful to your, I'm more loyal to your, did what your Pope told me to do to go to heaven, you see. Said then when they heard this, they pricked their heart, said Peter to the rest of the pot. Peter said, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And that woman in that house and Versailles conduct said, oh, I'm not saved. I said, would you like to take care of that right now? She says, yes, I would. In a few minutes, Pastor, she's sweetly converted. Amen. I gave her some verses of assurance and left there. We had some sweet fellowship. And I never got back to my home church on a Wednesday night until about 3 weeks. And when I was there, about 3 weeks later, this Jacinda stood up in the church, had a little hanky here, said, I want to thank God for Brother Anderson. I know he's a busy man. I gave him my address to my sister. I didn't know he'd be so busy now he'd be able to call, but he called. But Brother Anderson, what you don't know, just as soon as you left, my sister called me and said, say, you know that man you sent down there? I said, yeah, I just got saved.
Amen.
Huh? I just got saved.
Amen.
And so it's all, see, I found out a long time ago I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit of God can do it through me. Right. Now, just how Peter said to be saved, sure, man, I'm more loyal, I'm more obedient. That's a better, best word to say. I'm more obedient to your Pope than you are, because you haven't done what I did. I'm going to go to heaven, you're not, because you haven't done what your Pope said to do. Well, where can they flee to? You got them. You see? You've got them. And so then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. Would it be all right if we had a 5-minute intermission right now, let everybody go to the bathroom wants to, the people getting up and coming in? It bothers me. It might not bother you. It does me. I'm going to go to eat to your house some of these days, right in the middle of it. I'm going to say, don't eat no more. I'm going to go to the bathroom. Don't make yourself plain. Now, I'll call a 5-minute rest period right there if anybody else wants to go. But it does distract. When you get up, I'm talking to you people, and hear your eyes go. I'm not being unkind. I'm just saying.
Amen.
I paid my way to come here, and I want to help you.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach you how to keep you people out of hell.
Yeah.
If you don't be used of God, it's doctrine I'm treating you. And so, then it distracts. I wanted to say something made him mad. But now let me get back on track, okay? Number one, he called someone to go alongside. Number two, he showed us where to go. And so he showed us where to go. Just like he showed me how to go to the door there. And so then, let me see. Oh. Let me tell you this story, and I'll put a little excitement. I'll tell you a little something humorous. There's an old boy from Kentucky, and I used to go knock on his door. Well, he got his wife saved, and he'd run out the back door. Bessie Lane, Kentucky, right on 23 north goes right, south goes right through it, right before you get to Pikeville, Kentucky. Finally, one day we got him to come to church, and Holy Spirit convicted him, come out, and I led him to Christ, the altar. I took him out and made a soul winner out of him, and he was an usher. He became an usher. And so he and I'd won, I don't know, there's scores and scores of people. Sometimes I was 12, 15 a week to Christ. And so we'd be driving down the road like in this rural, some of these streets here, and we're looking for somebody. I see somebody walking. I say, stop the car right fast. And I jump out, and I act like I'm lost. I say, hey, you know where Marie Mature lives here? It's about on Freedom Street here. I'll pick some street 10 miles away. No, I don't know. I act like I'm lost. I said, by the way, I'm from Baptist Church. I'd like to ask you a question. Are you saved or are you lost?
Amen.
And I lead them across. You don't know the opportunities you missed. Just trying to find a dress. But we was driving down this road on Willis Road, going west towards Ann Arbor, Michigan, and out in the country. And there's a 4-way stop. On this corner is a bar. On this corner is a house. And there's a woman out in the yard. I said, pull her right fast. I act like I'm lost. You know what I'm going to do. So I got out. I went through the plan. I got asked her about such an address. No, not there. And I started going through the plan of salvation with her. And when I do that, I was like this here, and I could see that bar. Here comes some woman out of that bar. Boy, she'd had one, 2 minutes. She'd barely making it across the street. And when she got pretty close, she's going like this to me. I thought she was going around right to me. I turned my back like this, talking to this woman. And she went right behind me and opened the door and got in the car door with my buddy. And his wife is jealous. And I saw them hands moving back there in the car, and I looked back and see that. And I thought, now, if I just had a camera, and I see something funny about everything, I could take a picture of that, and I said, this is what your husband does when I'm out sowing. But then, after a few minutes, I heard the car door slam, she got out. I led this woman to Christ and was giving verses of assurance, and here comes some man across that street, stayed as drunk as she was, drunk as he could be. I'd given this woman shirts, and I turned around, and there he was, and I had tracts, and I just handed around and said, Mr. I'd like to give you a tract. What are you, a Jehovah's Witness? I said, no, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I go to the Baptist church. He said, well, I'd like to talk to you a while. I saw he's drunk. I said, well, my buddy started the car. You know how you raise a motor, he's trying to get my attention. I said, what's the matter with that guy? I've trained him. He knows the most important thing is try to win somebody to Christ. What's he raising the motor on that car for? Finally, when I turned around, gave him a track and turned around, I said, what'd you start the car for? He said, you know what woman got in my car? I said, yeah. She pulled a pistol out of her purse. She said, that pistol's loaded. Can you know how to take the shells out of it? And he said, I sure do. And he said, I took the shells out. And she said, if my husband comes in and catches you all in this neighborhood, he'll kill both of you. And I said, put the pedal to the metal, buddy. Let's get out of there. Let's get out of here. Yeah. So number one is he calls someone to go alongside with us. That's the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit's going to show us where to go. And number three is, now listen to this, he tells us what to say.
Yeah.
I didn't have that story made up about the coffee. I could just stop here all day long and tell you stories that the Holy Spirit has given me. Because I depend on him, not myself.
Amen.
Sometimes when I go through the plan of salvation, I say, you want to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, why? Everybody wants to do that. No conviction. I keep reading scripture. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I'm not doing any good. Now, Holy Spirit of God, you take over. Now, Holy Spirit of God, bring conviction. I keep repeating, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we die in our sins, we're going to go to hell. We're going to burn forever and ever. And when I see that smile wiped off, and all of a sudden I see a serious look, I know the Holy Spirit's working then. See, no conviction, no conversion. Dr. Gray says that all the time. He'll be here next week. And he'll tell you what to say. You know the woman at the well? John been married 5 times. Good-looking woman. Full 5 different men, I guess. But you know what she did? When she got saved, she went into town and told everybody, come see a man everywhere I told. She forgot her water. Now, if God could use a woman who's been married 5 times and living with a man, then shacked up with a man, now he can use people like you and I, can't he?
Amen.
Huh? Huh? Yeah. Okay. Said, he tells what to say. She also the only thing she said to the Holy Spirit, I found him. You ought to go here. And practically the entire town came out and was saved because of that. And so just like I was out calling one time, I'll see if I got a story to tell you this. I got on an airplane flying from Detroit to Atlanta, Georgia. It's about a 2.5 hour. I got on my plane, sat down. Here's a woman sitting next to the window. Her husband sitting in the middle. I sat down, and it's close. And he said, boy, it's at coach section. It sure is close here, isn't it? I said, yeah. I said, we're going to Atlanta second class. When I start to heaven, I'm going to go first class. He said, hey, can you know how to go to heaven? I said, sure can. They're from Florida, been to a funeral in Michigan, just buried a loved one and probably heard a gospel sermon.
Yes.
See how the Holy Spirit works?
Yes.
He'll put people in your way. In my office, my girls used to get, I had three full-time officer girls and then a couple of men. And so those girls would get aggravated. Said, God just sends people in your office all the time to get saved, and we have to go out and knock on doors all the time and try. But see, God knows when somebody's hungry, he's going to put them in touch with somebody dependent on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And so then I go on this airplane, and then I asked them that, and before the plane touched down Atlanta, both of them prayed and asked the Lord to forgive them their sins and save them. Now, wait a minute. A few days later, I was flying into Chicago, and I walked up. Back then, they didn't pre-assign seats. You put your seat down in this, take it down and assign your seat. And said, they gave me a seat, and this time they set me right in the middle of two ladies. And this one here said she's 57 later on, but you know how to speed on a car a lot? Yeah, you can run them back a little bit.
Yeah.
So this girl here, she looked like a college girl, you know? And she looks like something like, where's the girl that her and her mother sang a while ago? Where's she at? Teenage girl sing. Filipino? Did they leave? Oh, back here. I said, way back in the back there, sound booth. She moved back. I told her mother, I said, you know, if I was a young man, I'd ask her, I'd come over tonight and she could pop me some popcorn. But see, this one, so she was pretty on the left here. I said, Holy Spirit, where do you want to talk to first? This one or this one? Now, it's only about a 40-minute flight. And so she said, talk to this one here. I said, well, I'd rather smell perfume. Let me talk to this. I don't smell in a minute. I'm kidding. But anyway, I said, all right. I started talking to her, and she told me about her husband died and left her a lot of insurance money and told me where all she'd been. I can't get a word in there. I said, Holy Spirit, I better let me talk to this one. I can't get a word. Interrupt her. Lady, let me ask you a question. This fire plane was go down and crash right now. We all get killed. Do you know sure you go to heaven? She said, no, I don't. I said, would you like to know? Yeah. I said, let me show you. I Romans Road went through the plan of salvation with her, and I said, now, even though Jesus died, was buried, arose 3 days later in heaven, he knows I'm talking to you right now on this plane.
Right.
And he wants to save you, but that's something you have to ask for. Now, if you put your faith and trust, if you'd ask Jesus to save you, he will right now where we are. I said, now, let's bow our heads, and I'll pray, and then you pray. And here's what she said. I started bowing my head, and she nudged me, and she said, let's hold hands while we pray. I know what to do. My wife's home. Pastor, what would you have done? Would you have held her hand?
I don't know.
Your wife's home now. Your wife's home.
Yeah, I let the Lord be on that one.
Well, he's already led you. You just have to know the scripture. Paul said, I got it. Paul said, I love to put that on, Pastor. Paul said, I become all things to all men. By all means, I may what? I may save some. I said, put it there, sister. I prayed. And you know how you pray with your food sometimes? You look around and see if there's anybody looking. I looked around and here's some man sitting over there looking at my whole net, man. And his eyes going like this, head. I know what he's saying. What's this man got I've got? He sits down beside a woman 30 minutes ago. He got her head bowed, holding her hand, talking to her. What's he got? What is he talking about? I know my face got red, but when I quit praying, she prayed and asked the Lord to forgive her sins. I gave him a business card. I said, if you ever need to call me, I've got three girls that screens my calls. Somebody's plumbing's not working. I want them to take it. I don't want to take it. I can't take all those mess. I said, you tell them you'll talk to Mr. Anderson about Jesus, and they won't ask you another question. How to get to me. Then the plane was coming down the land. Now back to this beautiful doll sitting over here. Plane was coming down, beautiful lady. Plane was coming down the land. I said, lady, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, if this plane was crashed right now and we'd all get killed, you know, sure you'd go to heaven. She said, I sure do. She said, how do you know? She said, I'm a born-again Christian. I go to a Baptist church. I'm going home this weekend and be with mom and dad. I said, Holy Spirit, which one you want to talk for first, this one or this one? Hey, learn to talk to him. Huh? See, I've told you, he called us to go along, someone to go alongside with us. That's the Holy Spirit. Realizing you can't do it. Only thing you have to do is talk to their ears. Let the Holy Spirit, don't try to do the Holy Spirit part. Let the Holy Spirit do the conviction, okay? And I said that he called someone to go along. He showed us where to go. And now, point number three, he tells you what to say. See, just like I told about the holding hands on an airplane and that. And then number four, well, I'm getting through, done early, I think. Number four, he worked, did you say go to 10 o'clock, didn't you? Amen. So, Amen. Now listen, he works on the inside. Now listen to this. He works on the inside while we work on the outside.
Right.
Now don't rush it. You keep quoting scripture until you see conviction, and you can tell it in the face. You can tell their action when you're getting through. Don't try to get them just to become your convert. Just bow the head and do it. But watch them. He works on the inside while we work on the outside. And so he, Dr. John Rice said, and this is where I got that voice. He can speak to the ears, but he cannot speak to the heart. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so then let me tell you this. I had a brother that came in from Chicago, and I'd been saved just a few weeks. I said, Junior, and he's laying dying now in the hospital up in the Grand Rapids Mission Veterans Hospital. They've sent him up there. I was told the last 3 or 4 days he'd been giving him treatment for cancer found on his lungs. He's 82 and a veteran. And so he came in from Chicago. I said, Junior, you got to go to church with me. He came to see me in my business officer. He said, no, I'm not going to church. He said, I heard you got religion. I said, no, I got Jesus. And I said, it's all different. And I was thinking, I'm illustrating now, he'll tell you what to say. And he works on the inside while I'm working outside. And I said, Junior, you've got to go to church with me now. That's all there is to it. Now, he said, I didn't buy a suit. I didn't bring a suit with me. And I only said this here, I'll buy you a suit then. He said it about 2 weeks later. You know what his testimony was? When that brother of mine, I don't him having $100 bills in his pocket, went to buy a Pepsi Cola. And when he offered to buy me a suit, I knew he had something I did not have. You never know what the Holy Spirit's going to use to gain their attention.
Right.
Now, 11 of my family within 6 weeks. And so, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and a discerner and thoughts of the hearts. And so, therefore, my brother was saved. Now, in closing, Dr. Tom Malone tells a story. I've heard him tell it. That I knew on Thursday, his church got so big. On Thursday, men could come straight from work, and the wives, too, if they worked. And then they'd get their kids and bring them there, and they'd have soup and sandwiches on Thursday evening. And then they'd go sewing. And they'd have babysitting there. And then they'd gather back, I think it was at 9 o'clock, and they'd rehearse or tell what the Holy Spirit had done. And then one night, these three ladies got up and said, Dr. Long, we'd like to explain tonight what happened to us. And so So we knocked upon this porch tonight and said, there's a man opened the door, said, ladies, come on in. I've been expecting you. We didn't know what to do. We didn't knock on the door. He said, down. Now, ladies, I moved in this neighborhood a few weeks ago, and every night somebody's met at Emmanuel Baptist Church, every Thursday night, knocked on my door. I wouldn't give you a nickel for television for any other night except Thursday night. I knew you all would be here tonight. In fact, I come in early from work. I said, honey, get the kids ready. We're going to go to a movie tonight. We'll not be able to watch television. They're going to come in and want to come in and disturb us. Now, I'll tell you what to do. You tell that preacher, you go back and tell that preacher, if he keeps somebody away from my door next Thursday night, I'll come to his church next Sunday. Next Thursday night, he would not let anybody take the card, tell him not to go to leave that guy alone. The following Sunday, he, his wife, and three children came, heard the gospel for the first time, got saved and baptized.
Amen. Amen.
And daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, you yes. see. And so, therefore not. Jesus is wanting to use you. What he needs is a partner. He needs, and what you need to do too, is know what the power of God is on your life. You'll never be used of God as long as you try to do it in your own self. What you need is the power of God upon your life that will bring conviction when you speak into on the sinner's heart. That be his conviction. And so, again, now, God saved you for a purpose. And that is to witness and tell others. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Our Father, I've done my best tonight to tell them how to win their relatives, tell them how to make this church grow. I'm telling them tonight how that you, what I found out when I couldn't do it, the Holy Spirit of God had to do it in my life. And I pray now tonight, dear God, there be people that will take this message, let them realize it, and when they go, they'll depend upon you, Holy Spirit, to tell them what to say, that you're along with them, tell them where to go, what, and explain it to them. I pray there'll be a lot of people that get saved now this the following week because of the message tonight. Now, Holy Spirit, please work in the people's hearts here. With their heads bowed, no one looking around. Let me ask you this question. How many of you could say, Brother Anderson, I know somebody right now. I can think of somebody right now that I'd love to see be saved. Maybe a mama, dad, brother, sister, cousin, relative, friend. How many of you say, Brother Anderson, the Holy Spirit just brought somebody to mind. I'd love to see him go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? No one look at me now. Maybe several. You may put your hands down. Now I'm going to ask you a question. If Jesus will let you live one more week, how many of you would promise Jesus that you'll go to visit that one or depend upon the Holy Spirit? Now, not you. You can't do it. Depend upon the Holy Spirit to give you the right words to say to win that person to Christ. If the Lord lets you live another week, how many will promise God you'll go that prayer? Raise your hand. All over. That's it. All over. Just keep raising them. That's it. Our Father, we've seen all the hands have been raised tonight. Now, Holy Spirit, again, it's one thing to make a decision back there, but it's another one to seal it to that altar. I pray tonight during the invitation, dear God, there'll be people flooding the aisles and begging, oh, God, don't let my mama go to hell. Oh, God, don't let my daddy go. God, don't let my brothers and sisters go to hell. God, don't let my friend go. Oh, there'll be tears that shed tonight. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. Now, Holy Spirit of God, work. May people come tonight. Let's all stand as we begin to play. Would you sing a song, brother? Just as I am. Why don't you come right now? Right now at the altar. Right here. Have thine own way. That's it. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. That's it. That's it. Come on. That's it. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? While you're yielding and still singing. Have thine own way. Why don't you come?
you that have those books by Dr. Anderson, after we pray, come down and